G'day and welcome to the City on a Hill podcast. I'm Guy, Senior Pastor of City on a Hill, a movement of churches across Australia united around the central mission of knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. Whether you're on your morning commute or sitting down with a warm cup of coffee, I hope this message fuels your faith, hope, and love. And while we're here, let me encourage you to prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. You can do that by heading to cityonahill.com.au. God bless. Look forward to connecting soon.
Well, good morning, City on a Hill, Surf Coast. Happy Easter. Oh, I hear that amen. Sorry, if we have not met before, my name is Louis. I have the absolute, look, I'm stoked to be the lead pastor here of this church, City on a Hill, Surf Coast. If we haven't met before, I'm looking forward to an opportunity to meet you over some soup and sandwiches. The potato soup is from our household, and Winifred Louise handled that knife so well. That's my daughter, sorry, in jokes. But hey, look, you'll probably figure out pretty quick, I love Jesus. So I love this moment because Jesus is alive. There's the sermon. I'm done. Some of you are like, yes, no. And some of you are disappointed. I'm encouraged by that. No, it's a big day. It is a great day. It's our day. I hope that today you get a real sense of hope. Hope for all of life. Hope for the afterlife. I hope that by remembering the resurrection, that Jesus is alive, you'd remember that, hey, anything is possible. I hope that you'd feel a great sense in your soul that if the resurrection is real, then no one or nothing is too far gone. Jesus was dead, and now he's alive. You know, if there's genuine resurrection, not resuscitation, not reincarnation, but resurrection, then wow. There's more to life for your soul than this life, and I think that's worth thinking about. The reality of this resurrection, of Jesus' resurrection, it means that in this world, there's more that meets the eye. And I don't know about you, but I want to know more about that. Easter Sunday, here's what we're thinking about. Jesus is alive. How are you doing today? How are you doing today? How's your enthusiasm for the resurrection? You're probably already getting some vibes like this guy's pretty fired up. I don't know why. He's a good thing he's in ministry because like this is his day. So perhaps you're with me and you're like Leighton Hewitt, come on, Jesus is alive. You're with me. Maybe that's you. Or perhaps you're not. Maybe for you, it's another Easter. You're appreciating the energy, but you're not quite there yet yourself. You know, I get it. But really, you know, I'm not getting all the vibes. You know, I'm hopeful that I'll warm up. You know, I'm nearly there. The sugar from that, you know, pretty, you know, rocking, what was those little cupcakes with an Easter egg on top? Man, they were pretty cool. Help, you know, shout out to the hospo team. They were amazing. Maybe you'll warm up. Maybe some excitement will come in. Or maybe you're more reserved. You know, maybe you feel like, you know, you probably should feel a little bit more engaged. But, you know, it's just the energy is low. It's been a tough year already. It's been a tough week. You know, you really just only made it here today. You know, it's incredible that you're even wearing pants. You're just like, I made it this far. Come on, be thankful. Or maybe step further back again. Maybe a little bit like eight-year-old Chris. You know, you got dragged here today. You know, and you're like, honestly, you know, I'm just enjoying the long weekend. You know, I'm just going through the motions. I'm only really here to appease someone that asked. Well, I'm glad you're here today. Life gets busy, we get distracted, sometimes it can feel like a duty rather than a delight. It is good. It's good that you're here. Today we're joining into something big, something really big, something that's been happening for the last 2,000 years every year, a global family get-together. Across nearly every country, every time zone, every tribe, nation, and tongue, today we're making time to refix their eyes on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll be celebrating the significance of it. It changed everything. You know, and some of those people today, they'll be meeting in a building. Some will be meeting outside. Come on, who's up with the outside crew? We are. Yeah, clap for that. Loving that. Some will meet publicly. Some will meet privately. Some will meet with freedom. Some will meet with the risk of imprisonment or their very lives. But they'll still meet. Today is a significant day that we are sharing in together. Don't forget that. So as we come to this time now to consider Jesus is alive, let me just pray for the next few moments that we're going to share together. And let the front door of the Surf Coast be a place where we get to step also into God's very presence and consider him. Let me pray. Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have given us this day. You have provided for us this moment to magnify you, our Lord. God, this is your day. We are your people. We entrust all this to you. Please take our small offers of song, speech, readings, and reflection, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, may we see your glory. Would our beholding of your beauty, would that lead us to live lives full of integrity, ready and wanting more to love and serve and forgive and to walk in the freedom that you have purchased for us through the cross of Christ. And Father, please not let us miss what you might be inviting us to this significant, special day. Be at work in us, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Jesus is alive. Come on. Yes. Hey, come on. We've got a bit caro in here. Giddy up. Today we're thinking three R's because I wanted it to be memorable and because alliteration is my love language. The reality of the resurrection, the reason for the resurrection, and the response to the resurrection. The reality of, the reason for, and the response to the resurrection. If you grasp the first, you'll grasp the second, and that'll inform the third. Reality, reason, response. The reality of the resurrection. Do you know Easter? It's something that actually happened. Sometimes you've got to, amen. Sometimes you've got to remind yourself that Easter is something that can actually, that actually happened. You know, we all have moments where you're like, did someone just make all this up? Have I just like completely changed? Have I like given up a perfectly good job to, you know, become a pastor? You know, is this like some clever idea? Easter actually happened. See, historian John Dixon writes, there was a time when people read the gospel accounts as myth. The narratives of Jesus were never intended to be read as history, but only as poetic and metaphorical accounts of the spiritual and moral life. This view may persist in the popular mind, but it has disappeared from scholarship. Between the 1970s and 1990s, a consensus emerged among experts that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, found in your Bible, have to be read as biographies of a real individual. They have to be read as real-world accounts of the sayings and deeds of a first-century individual. The Bible, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus is accurately recorded history. Scholarship today now recognizes for the New Testament, we have over 24,000 handwritten manuscripts, some recorded sources that were written only 40 years since the original. The oldest complete New Testament dates back only 300 years after the original. And from these sources to reproduction today, from decades of textual criticism, that is a bunch of nerds trying to translate and make sure that this is legit Bible, trust the nerds, they say it is 99.5% accurate. if you are to compare the Bible to the many other non-biblical historical documents that we have, take Aristotle and the homilies of his homies, of those, we only have 90%, we have 90% less number of copies, and some are written over 1,000 years later than the original date. What's all that mean? Well, if you're willing to trust the records and the accounts that there was a Caesar, an Aristotle, a Plato, a Pythagoras, and a Socrates, you've got to be willing to trust the record of Jesus of Nazareth. In fact, the New Testament is probably the best preserved text of all ancient history. Do you have a Bible in your hand? What you hold is a modern print, 99.5% accurate copy of the original ancient scroll. Which means what? It means that the story we are considering and reflecting on today is not fiction. It's not fantasy. It's an eyewitness report. It's historical, it's geographical, it's reliable. And so far over the last 2,000 odd years, it's been pretty powerful. Jesus. Have you heard of my friend Jesus? He's verified. He's got a lot of followers. He's significant. To quote Pastor MD, Jesus Christ today is the most extraordinary, the most loved, the most hated, the most widely considered person of all human history. More songs have been sung to him, more paintings painted of him, more books written about him than anyone else who has ever lived in the history of the world. And right now, on this day, millions of people across the world are gathering to remember and celebrate this man. And today, millions of people across the world are going to have their lives reset, refreshed, and even eternally redeemed by his ongoing power because of his ongoing presence still active today. Why? Jesus is alive. Easter Sunday, it actually happened. Jesus rose from the dead after a brutal, bloody, professional torturing and killing. Just give him 3 days and then he's alive. It actually happened. Which actually explains why Jesus is still making a remarkable impact on this world. Jesus is alive. This is the reality of the resurrection. Easter, it's a thing that actually happened. Now, there's a lot of significant life decisions that we're all going to need to make in our lives. You know, where do I live? How should I spend my time? What do I want to contribute to this world? What am I going to eat for dinner tonight? These are significant decisions. Don't make a joke about marriage, about the dinner thing. You're already laughing. Sorry. If you're new here, I go off my notes sometimes and it's not good for me afterwards. Some people have these things figured out in life, don't they? You know, they know where they want to live, they know where they want to spend their time, they know how to contribute to this world, and they get, you know, Uber Eats or whatever that other thing is where it comes in a box and then you have to make it. You know, do it yourself, Uber Eats, you know, don't have to go to the shops. But we should not figure out all these things at the expense of never making a real effort to consider the biggest life decision. And that is, what do I honestly believe about Jesus' life? What is it I honestly believe about Jesus' life? If I'm to weigh up the reports, if I'm to hear the news, if I'm to read his life for myself, am I convinced of him as a person, as the one who lived, who died, and rose again? You see, the historical eyewitness, the die for their testimony and belief record of the resurrection is something you need to factor into your answer. And it would seem that the evidence is in. It would seem that there's, since at least the 1970s, there's no more wiggle room for being able to close your eyes and say, if you can't see me, if I can't see you, you can't see me. Yeah? You've got to land an answer. See, Easter's a thing that actually happened. What do you think of the evidence of the resurrection? It's arguably the most important question you'll ever need to consider. And why is that? It's because your answer to that question will have the greatest impact on you for the rest of your life in this world and then after this world. It's impossible to remain neutral regarding Jesus' resurrection. It's been said before, the claim is too staggering. The event is too earth-shattering. The implications too significant. And the matter is too serious to remain indifferent or undecided and to reject it. And if you are to reject it, I mean, I'd say, like, have fun with that. Because logic says you're also dismissing the rest of the recorded human text, biography, and history around the time of Jesus. But if you're accepting the real possibility of Jesus' resurrection, if you're beginning to accept that, you then need to ask, why? Why? I mean, Jesus is alive after crucifixion. That's a staggering situation. That's a revolutionary revelation. That seems significant. If Jesus is risen, what is the reason? What is the reason for the resurrection? We've thought so far, the reality of the resurrection. Let's think about the reason for the resurrection. Easter, today, Good Friday, Jesus is alive. The resurrection is a thing of significance. And let me just like save us some time. You'll appreciate this. I'll just run straight to the summary. Jesus' action of resurrection is the absolute assurance that Jesus is exactly who he says he is and who others said he is. Jesus' action of resurrection is the absolute assurance that Jesus is who he said he is and who others said he is. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is significant. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, so that you may believe that he is the Christ, God's sent one, and that you would believe that he is the Son of God. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever met anyone that claimed to be God. Be an interesting conversation. How you doing? My name's Louis. G'day. What did you say? You're God. Interesting. We should probably get coffee at some point. Got a lot of questions. I'm not sure if you've met anyone that claimed to be God, but hey, let me tell you this. Buddha didn't. Gandhi didn't. Muhammad didn't. Plato didn't. Socrates didn't. Aristotle didn't. Joe Rogan hasn't. Jordan Peterson hasn't. Kevin 07 in his political campaign didn't. But Buddha, Gandhi, Muhammad, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, they didn't. And if they did, they're still dead. But Jesus did. And Jesus is alive. Jesus said things that only God could say, right? Like if you read this book, You read Jesus and the stuff that he said and did? Man, like, I'm surprised he'd get crucified sooner. Like, come on, like, you know, John 8. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Settle down, Jesus. We're all just getting a latte. John 10. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, my people, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and none shall snatch them out of my hand. Okay? So I wanted to give you something today. Here's eternal life. Cool. You will not perish, huh? And by the way, no one will snatch you out of my hand. Like, you're mine. You can't lose this gift of eternal life. Okay, Jesus of Nazareth. Like, I saw you working for Simmons Homes the other week doing some carpentry. Now you're giving out eternal life. I thought you were just doing, like, skirting boards. Like, what's going on there? John 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Imagine Jesus sitting in that job interview. Can you tell me some of your greatest strengths? Well, turns out I'm the resurrection and the life. So if you ever like have like a spreadsheet that gets fully shut down without being saved, guess what? Jesus saves. You know, I'll bring that Excel spreadsheet back to, sorry, we're modernizing. That's not in the Bible. That textual criticism would not have passed that. But hey, Jesus made some big claims. What else? He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to God except through me. All right, Jesus, all right. No one comes to God except through me. John 15, whoever abides in me dwells in me, and whoever, and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Or here's one of my favorite in the Gospel of Mark. The friends bring this paralytic before Jesus. Paralytic can't walk. And Jesus just casually, son, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. That's God-only language. Only God can forgive sin. Jesus isn't playing around. These are the things that Jesus said about himself. These are the things that Jesus said about himself. And there's not only those things that Jesus said about himself, there's also those that knew Jesus, spoke face to face with Jesus, and they wrote of Jesus as well. So we not only have to have Jesus' words, we have those that hung out with Jesus. You know, we've got one guy, Paul. He says, though he was in the form of God, he did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He was in the form of God, though he was in the form of God. Same guy also writes, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Put that on your LinkedIn job description. I am before all things. And in me, all things hold together. There's a pastor that famously said that if it wasn't for Jesus' power right now, all of our noses would fall off our face. All things hold together. Well, then there's Jesus' BFF, John. He writes this about Jesus after, you know, spending significant time with me. And he says, he was in the world and the world, it was made through him. The world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people and they did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, who were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man, but of God. Like, I don't know if you've been listening, but like, this is significant, is it not? And so if you're willing to intellectually ascend to agreeing with the possibility of, to the reality of the resurrection, that Easter was something that actually happened, then as you consider Jesus' life that led up to his resurrection, what it was that got him to that point, then you cannot deny that Jesus was someone that claimed deity and authority, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the reality of the resurrection cannot be separated from the reasons for the resurrection. Like if you were here on Good Friday, or if you, you know, you were part of a good Bible teaching church, you would have been taught on the realities, on the reasons of the cross, the crucifixion, how Jesus died, the means of the Lord Jesus Christ's death. This was the means for victory for God and for sin, for the victory for God over sin, over Satan, over death. Jesus on the cross, all our rebellion, all our sin, all our falling short, all our dishonoring of God, all of the ways we've stuffed up, screwed up, all of our mistakes, all the things that would have condemned us, Jesus took it away, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. Do you know that through Christ's actual physical, historical death, humanity now has a source of power to purify their conscience from dead works, to start afresh to serve the living God. And now we get to Easter Sunday, a thing that actually happened. And Jesus did exactly what he set out to do. Completed it all, he finished the work, he stated who he was, he said who he was, he showed who he was, everyone else bore witness and testimony as to who he was, and then after he dies, back to life. Back to life. By moving the stone, Jesus sets in stone that he is God the Son. I mean, you could have a really good Bible account of everything Jesus said and did, but if he's still dead, like we had to be the most pitied amongst all people. But Jesus is alive. He came down, he showed his power, he made his claims, he taught his way, he died to take away the sins of the world, and then the empty tomb, the eyewitnesses, the recorded sightings, the conversations over the crusty bread consumed by him before them. Jesus is alive. He's done the work. He died. He got the T-shirt. He came back. And now he stands victorious over it all. And he says, "Happy Easter. I'm the God of life and death. Who's with me? Who's with me?" Do you know my friend Jesus? He's verified. He's got a lot of followers. And he isn't just a good moral teacher. He isn't just a good example. He isn't a hobby or a date in the calendar. He isn't an add-on, a plug-in, or an optional extra. Jesus is God, the second member of the Trinity, Son of the Most High God, fully man, fully God. Romans 6 tells us, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Hebrews 1 tells us that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Happy Easter. Jesus is alive, seated on a throne. What's your response? What's your response? The right response to Jesus is belief. In our reading, disciples, they doubted. They run to the tomb. John just slips in a little note there that he's a little bit faster than Peter. He's always doing these little digs on the disciple that, you know, the one that Jesus loved. He wrote his gospel last, by the way, so he had this opportunity to be like chronologically, he knew what game he was playing. You read a little bit more in that chapter, chapter 20, John, he gives the purpose statement of everything that is written according to the biography of Jesus, and he says, this is all written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Romans 10, Paul writes, he says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. The right response to Jesus is belief. Belief. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's sent one, the Son of God? This looks like something. Looks like something. The word belief, when you read it in the Bible, we get this English word belief, you know, Greek word, you can translate differently out of belief. It can be belief, believe, trust, have confidence in. It looks like something. It's not this intellectual assent, but it's taking it in and it's walking it out. To generally believe that Jesus is God and to have life with him, it looks like something. What does it look like? Well, if you're already beginning to wander down the path of that belief, you probably already begin to feel it. When you stand before the Almighty God, when your heart is laid bare before him, when he draws near to you and his presence is felt as real, and you believe that there's something going on, what does that look like? Two things. Hybrid emotion. Awesome reverence is how you'll respond. And intimate relationship is how you'll respond. Awesome reverence as you stand before the Most High God. And intimate relationship because you've realized that, holy moly, I once was lost, have been found. I once was far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Died he for me? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. It's awesome reverence and it's intimate relationship. It's reverence. Belief is going to look like awesome reverence. Why? Because Jesus is alive. He's actively ruling from his throne. So much so that when you go home this afternoon and get to work on your plans for the long weekend, you do so under the eyes of a very present, very watchful, very powerful God. That when you say your prayers, you aren't talking to a gravestone in the middle of a quiet little cemetery. When you say your prayers, you are drawing near to the throne of grace, able to approach because of his shed blood. And because he bore your sin and took it away, and the throne of God is not quiet. It's not a solemn little picture with a few canaries sitting on the windowsill. The throne of God, the Bible tells us, the angels and all the heavenly hosts are there crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, crying out, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Awesome reverence when you come near to the Most High God. Awesome reverence. Jesus is alive. He's not dead. And it's also intimate relationship. Intimate relationship. Because Jesus is alive. He can hear you, commune with you, empower you, actively give you poise to face the day as it unfolds, listening, able to say at every moment and worry that we have, he's like, yeah, I've been there too. I know how that feels. I got your back. He's not dead. 1 Peter, for Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Jesus is alive for active engagement. And this is what Jesus, the whole time, his whole life, his whole putting on flesh and coming down, was for this intimate relationship. He's longingly, lovingly inviting us in. It's the reason he came. He broke down. It's one of the reasons he came. He broke down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. He made peace in order to reconcile us to God in one body through the cross. He knew that it was only through him that we could have access in one spirit to the Father. Access. Presence. He didn't want us to be strangers and unknown, but he wanted us to be fellow citizens in his house. For intimate relationship. Jesus saves us, not for religion, for relationship. The right response to Jesus is belief, and that belief is expressed in awesome reverence and intimate relationship. What's your response? What's your response to the resurrection? Do you consider Good Friday, Easter Sunday, that Jesus is alive? What's your response? I had a big projector screen here. I put up a graph, nice quadrant for you, so to show you what probably the most common responses are. But this one's, you know, for the visually minded people that like a flowchart or a graph. What's your response? See, a quadrant, there's sort of four types of categories that you could be in today. On the axis of awesome relationship, you know, and intimate relationship, awesome reverence, intimate relationship, you know. Maybe you're someone here today and you're like, you know what? Yeah, I believe. I'm the believer in this category. Awesome reverence and intimate relationship. I see that Jesus is Lord. I see him as God in flesh. I have a healthy fear of the Lord and an understanding of who he is. If you're in this category, you hate your sin, yet you are confident in Jesus' declaration that God has taken it and he has destroyed it. Awesome reverence. And you've also got that intimate relationship. You know God. You love Jesus. He is Lord, Savior, friend, treasure. There is delight in him. Stories of his kindness and fondness towards you, and you are so looking forward to meeting him face to face in glory. That's that one. That's, you know, there's one quadrant. Yeah? The visual people are following me now. Let's go to the second one. Then there's the behaviorer. The behaviorer, you know, they have the awesome reverence. No relationship. You know, the awesome reverence, they've got like the Lord part sorted. You know, they know how to look reverent. They got the duty and the discipline. That's there. You know, they know how to play by the rules. But there's no delight. Faith is but religious action, merely tasks on a to-do list. The risen Jesus honestly just doesn't feel that alive in your life right now. So you've got awesome reverence, but you've got non-existent relationship. Or then there's the homeboyer, the believer, you know, the behaviorer, the homeboyer, you know. You've got maybe the intimate relationship stuff getting nailed, but awful reverence. You know, you've got time with Jesus sorted. You know, you look like you're doing well in your relationship with Jesus. He's your homeboy. Yeah? He's your mate. You start your prayers with, sup, Jesus? You know, hey, God. Plenty of emotional connection, yet not much discipline. Not much fear of the Lord, but plenty of cheap grace. a life that looks good when you're in front of your Christian crew, but your split personality and your casual attitude towards Jesus probably looks more like rudeness than reverence. Come and go as you please. Treat God more like a butler than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the third box in the quadrant. Intimate relationship, but awful reverence. And then there'll be some of you here today. You're not the believer, you're not the behavior, you're not the homeboy, you're just the blank. Just no relationship, no reverence. This is you, you know who you are. You know, God's been distant. He's been dead to you. You haven't really cared. But maybe today, I pray you're beginning to. Where are you on the quadrant of responding to the risen Jesus? The right response to Jesus is belief. Belief expressed in awesome reverence and intimate relationship. Jesus invites you into this hybrid experience of intimacy and reverence. Those things both together, and you can't get better than that. It's something we all want. Something we all want. We all want awesome and intimacy together. We all want connection to that. You know, you see a bunch, I've seen it this week, you know, people taking selfies with famous people, you know, took a selfie with Kelly. Yeah. Look at how close I got. Look at how intimate that was with my connection to that awesome, the GOAT, 11 times. They wanted intimacy and awesome together, didn't they? You know, we make plans to stay in holiday locations, you know, in this awesome creation. You know, isn't it amazing that we actually get to be here connected to this part of the world and see it be so close? Look at this view. We want awesome and we want to be closely connected and intimate with it, don't we? It's seen in the way that we work hard and live our homes to make them places that inspire us. You know, wow, I'm living in this place of glory that I've constructed. And we listen to podcasts and we take supplements and we have practices to optimize ourselves. Maybe so we can be, you know, maybe can we enjoy a little bit more of the awesome that's within us. We all want intimacy and awesome together. We all want that hybrid emotion. And Jesus is alive. Jesus is King. Jesus is the Most High God. And the awesome and the intimacy you are seeking is found only in the Son of the Most High God. Everything else will pale into comparison until you take hold of Him and RSVP with a yes to His invitation to come and believe and to know Him as friend. Jesus is alive. What's your response? What's your response to the reality, the reason to the resurrection? I wonder what your response was as you came in through the gate this morning. What would you like it to be before you leave out the gate this afternoon? Perhaps upon considering the resurrection, you've been reminded that Jesus Christ is not dead, but wanting to actually connect with you. Maybe today you feel like that God is inviting you in to a deeper experience of encountering Him. You know that this is a place you can do that. I would say let your repentance start with confession to God so you might experience the freedom of the forgiveness He so graciously gives. And remember, this is a church that's all about knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. We're here to help you take steps with God, to God, so you might know the intimacy of God. Or perhaps upon considering the resurrection, you've been reminded that Jesus Christ, he's alive and he's on the throne, man. Worthy to receive honor and glory and praise. And maybe today you feel like God is inviting you into a life that's more honoring before him. This is a place that you can explore that. Do that. I would say let your repentance start with a confession so that you might experience the freedom of his forgiveness that he so graciously gives. And remember, this church is all about knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. We're here to help you take steps in that. Or perhaps today, in considering Easter, the resurrection, its reality and its reason, maybe today you feel like you don't want to be the blank. You don't want to be the blank. Maybe today you feel like God is inviting you to respond to Jesus for the first time. This is a place you can do that. Let your response start with prayer. Tell Jesus how you feel. Tell him what you want. He'll show you what's next. And remember, this is a church that's all about knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. We're here to help you in taking steps towards God in all of that. What's your response to the fact that Jesus is alive? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, words cannot express the deep gratitude that we feel to be able to consider you and all that you've done and all that you are and all that you will do. Lord, I pray that you would take every heart, mind, and soul here this day and continue to lead each and every single one of us into a deeper revelation of your love, of your glory, your forgiveness, and the path that you would have us walk as your people. Father, help us all just to take one step closer to you, to take another step forward with you. Grant to us a great joy in knowing the salvation of Jesus Christ, purchased through the cross and shown triumphant in the resurrection. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, if you haven't been to church before, this is a time where we spend some time after reflecting on God's words. We have a wonderful, excellent band. They're going to lead us in a few songs. This time is intentionally designed where there's a number of things you can do. There's a menu of options for your soul. If you want to sing along with these guys, please sing. They love to hear you sing. If you just want to use these next few minutes as a time to be like, I still need to process some of that stuff that I've heard, this is a time to do that. Or maybe it's just like, I feel like I should say something, but I don't know what to say. You can look at the lyrics of the songs that we're singing in the handouts. You know, these lyrics are beautiful prayers, beautiful declarations of who we want to be and how we want to praise God. You can let them do the talking for you. Or maybe you just want to take time to close your eyes, wait upon the Lord and say, speak God, here I am, what's next? I want to hand that time over to you and let our musicians lead us in that. Thanks, guys.